like this morning to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. I'd like to read verse 5 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 and verse 11. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The message this morning will be directed to the saved. I want to focus our attention upon three words found in both of these verses. Those three words being, for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. These three words suggest the keynote for our lives and for all our service to the Lord. Those three words, for Jesus' sake, are to be our supreme motive, are to be the supreme reason, the supreme purpose for conducting our lives and for all service to the Lord. It is to be the motive power behind all spiritual activity, for Jesus' sake. They describe, those three words describe the very spirit, the very heart of what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. For Jesus' sake ought to be the sentiment of every child of God, of everyone who's ever been saved. That ought to be our sentiment. That ought to be the standard for every child of God. Those three words, for Jesus' sake, have, like many words, been used carelessly, have been used thoughtlessly by many who claim Christian. But those three words, if fully accepted into our lives, solve many problems and prevent many problems. The truth is, if God's people would fully accept these words, there's a lot of things they wouldn't do. And then, of course, there's a lot of things that they would do. But it would prevent many problems. It would prevent many individual problems, social problems, spiritual problems, for Jesus' sake. So that'll be the subject of our message this morning, for Jesus' sake. First of all, we need to see the meaning of these words. What do they mean? For Jesus' sake. Well, the word sake means purpose or cause. So the words, for Jesus' sake, mean for the purpose of Jesus, or for the cause of Jesus. It's the same that Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 23. He said, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That's the same thing as for Jesus' sake. You do it for the Lord and not for men. Jesus reminded his disciples of these words, for Jesus' sake, several times. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, he said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake, for my sake, for my purpose, for my cause. Notice in Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 18. Here he's sending forth the 12, and he says, "And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles, for my sake." Then notice in verse 39 of chapter 10, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." And then notice in the book of Mark, chapter 10, the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 29 and verse 30. "Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold, now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." But there again, for my sake. So Jesus, on several occasions, put this thought in the minds of the apostles, for my sake, for my sake. And we need to have that engraved upon our hearts, that it is for his sake. Now you remember in Acts chapter 9, the Lord told Ananias concerning Saul. In chapter 9, verse 16, he says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." What Paul suffered was for Jesus' sake, or for his purpose, or for his cause. Paul would later use this phrase for a basis of pleading with the people in Rome. In Romans 15 and verse 30, he said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. I beseech ye, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake." For Jesus' sake ought to be an impelling argument, a motive for God's people. So the words "for Jesus' sake," when fully accepted and embraced by us, it means that we consider Jesus Christ as the center of our life. That he is the main and chief aspect of our life and every aspect of our life. And no one who is saved ought to have any problem with that. Those who have been saved by the grace of God should not have a problem, should not have an issue with Jesus Christ being the center of your life. For Jesus' sake. It is the same as Paul said in Philippians 1 and 21, "For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ." Colossians 3 and verse 4, "Christ who is our life." And I realize that's talking spiritually. He is the reason for our spiritual life, but that's also true of the life we live or the life we ought to live. Christ ought to be our life. Christ who is our life. Colossians 3 and verse 11, "Christ is all." So the words "for Jesus' sake," when fully accepted, embraced by us, not only means that Jesus is the center of our life, but it means that Jesus Christ is the passion of our lives. It means that he is the goal of our lives. It means that he is the aim of everything that we do in our life. And again, why anyone who's been saved by the grace of God would have any issue with that is beyond me. The words "for Jesus' sake," when fully accepted and embraced by us, mean that Jesus Christ is the pattern of our lives. It means that Jesus Christ is the dominating and the controlling factor of our lives. It means that we are willing to surrender to Him. When we fully accept and embrace those words for Jesus' sake, it means that Jesus Christ is the love of our lives. He is the love of our lives. It means that we're willing to be dedicated and consecrated and set apart for Him. We must be sure that our religion, what we believe, is centered in devotion to Christ. Now, there is a danger. We must make sure that we are not merely devoted to a set of ideals. That we are not merely devoted to a doctrinal statement. That we are not merely devoted to a code of ethics. But rather, our devotion must be to Christ. We must have an unshakable faith in Jesus Christ, a deep, affectionate attachment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we possess that, we will be devoted to His ideals. We are devoted today to a set of ideals, but we can be devoted to ideals without being devoted to Him. We must be devoted to Him, and the result is we are now devoted to His set of ideals. I am devoted to a doctrinal statement. I am devoted to what I believe the Scriptures teach. But it can't be just merely that. We have to be first devoted to Christ. And because we are devoted to Christ, we are devoted to the very doctrines, to the very truths that He taught. But I'm afraid today that some perhaps are simply devoted to a system rather than a person. For Jesus' sake. So we need to beware of being devoted to the things of Christ without being devoted to Christ. You see, the life that God has called us to live is not self-centered. It's not man-centered. It is Christ-centered. And anything short of Christ-centered is off-centered. It's wrong. It's not right. It's out of balance. It was for Jesus' sake that the apostles went to the stake. It was for Jesus' sake that they went to prison. Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 36, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long." It was for Jesus' sake that they went as sheep among wolves. It was for Jesus' sake that they forsook houses. It was for Jesus' sake that they forsook lands and fathers and mothers and friends and country. It was for Jesus' sake. So we need to ask ourselves, what is the reason? What is the reason for what we do? What is the motive? What is the purpose behind our life? What is the reason? What is the motive? What is the purpose behind the way you and I live our lives? It ought to simply be for Jesus' sake. For His purpose, for His cause. Now, there's something that has to be overcome in order to live for Jesus' sake. And we see it in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Notice the words For we preach not ourselves. Not ourselves. But for Jesus' sake. It'll never be for Jesus' sake until you fully accept and fully embrace not ourselves. That has to be overcome. Ourselves have to be overcome. This is what Paul is talking about in Acts 20 and verse 24 when he said, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself." We have to get there if we are ever going to fully realize and fully accept and fully embrace for Jesus' sake. In Psalm 100 and verse 3, you see a couple of phrases in that verse. We read, "It is He," and then you skip ahead, "and not ourselves." That's what it's all about. It is He and not ourselves. And this is what Paul is saying in our text. We preach not ourselves. Not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And we need that ought to be our motto throughout our lives. Not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That would prevent a lot of problems. That would prevent a lot of hurt feelings. That would prevent a lot of people from feeling sorry for themselves. Not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. And it's when we get to that point that we can truly say, for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake is the ground of all that we are and all that we have as a child of God. By nature and by our own merits, we have no grounds of acceptance with God. The truth is, by nature, we are guilty. We are vile. We are filthy. We are wicked sinners. And as such, we have no claim. None. We have no claim on God's favor. We have no right to the blessings of God. Why? Because we forfeited. We forfeited them all by our own sin and disobedience. We have forfeited every claim of mercy. That is, we have no merit within ourselves. Paul states in Ephesians 2 and verse 3 that for by nature we are the children of wrath, even as others. We are the children of wrath by nature. That means we have no merit. If we ever come to God acceptably, we have to come in the merit and in the name of another. We cannot come acceptably in our own name. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." No man can. Because we're unacceptable. Because we have no claim. We have no merit. So why does God accept us into His favor? For Jesus' sake. It's for Jesus' sake. God saved our souls. For Jesus' sake. It is in and through Jesus Christ that we have been chosen, predestinated, and adopted into the family of God. It is in and through Jesus Christ that we have redemption, that we have the forgiveness of sins. It is in and through Jesus Christ that God has abounded toward us in all spiritual blessings. It is in and through Jesus Christ that we have an inheritance in glory. It is all for Jesus' sake that we have been so richly blessed. There is no reason within ourselves. When we pray, There is no reason within ourselves why God should hear us, why God should answer us, or why God should even allow us to pray. We have no merit. We have no deposit. We have no credit. We have no claim on the blessings of God. You see, prayer is a petition. And a petition must be signed by someone who has standing, by someone who has authority. Just as a check has to be signed by one who has a deposit in the bank in order for that check to be honored. And the sinner has no credit. The sinner has no claim. He must have Jesus, the only mediator between God and man. You see, it's for Jesus' sake that we are blessed of God. There is no room. There is no room for selfishness. There is no room for self-honor. There is no room for self-glorification. There is no room for self-exaltation. It is all for Jesus' sake. We have nothing. So we need to lay hold upon those words. Not ourselves. And then we need to adopt for our motto, for Jesus Christ, for Jesus' sake. You see, for Jesus Christ, left all and gave all for you and I. He willingly, he voluntarily was despised and rejected for me. He willingly and voluntarily submitted himself to the hatred, to the slander, to the mockings, to the tauntings, to the ridicule, to the betrayal, to the brutalization of man for you and I. He willingly and voluntarily was made a curse for us. He was smitten and forsaken by God for us. And you go to the cross and you see Jesus Christ on the cross. And everything that took place there, he's there in my place. He's there in my stead. It's all because of him. He is there voluntarily for his enemies. And I am included amongst those enemies. He is voluntarily there for those who hated him. And we are included in that crowd. And it was for these that Jesus laid down his life. He laid down his life for the guilty. He laid down his life for the filthy. He laid down his life for the vile and for the ungodly and for the profane and for the very worst of men. He laid down his life. He was there on that cross for those who have transgressed and broken the laws of God. For those who are covered with filthiness. For those who are filled with the corruption of sin. For those who are unacceptable to God. It was for these that Jesus Christ willingly and voluntarily went to the cross. He's there for the hell deserving. You and I deserve hell. We deserve the wrath of God. We do not deserve a single blessing of God. Jesus Christ willingly and voluntarily went to the cross for those who were wedded to their sins, for those who were in love with their sins. It is for these, and we include ourselves among those, that he went to the cross for. He wasn't there for our virtues. It is just sickening to say that the Lord looked forward and saw that you would do something, so he blessed you. What that is saying is the Lord saw some virtue in you that goes against everything that the Bible teaches. wasn't because of any virtue. We have none. We have no merit. And it seems like many who profess the name of Christ, they have never been able to grasp the meaning of no merit. We have no merit. We have no claim upon the Lord. You consider all of our sins and all of the vileness of all of those sins. And you consider all the guilt that was all laid to His charge. Then He willingly and voluntarily was made a curse and received what I deserved. That's what Jesus has done for me, with no merit, with no virtue, with no claim. He was delivered as a criminal to death. For me, He was despised and rejected. For me, Jesus Christ was put to grief. He was stricken and He was smitten of God. For me, He was wounded. For me, He was bruised. And for me, He was forsaken by God. So it shouldn't be too difficult to say. I shouldn't have any issue with believing not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. Again, there is no room for selfishness. There is no room for self-honor, for self-glorification, for self-exaltation. But the keynote of our life ought to be for Jesus' sake. I'll do it for Jesus' sake. I'll be what I need to be. Jesus' sake. That's our reason. For Jesus' sake, you put those three words, you reading the Word of God, and you read the commands of God and what God expects from you at the end of each one, put for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. That's why we ought to do all of them. Notice, in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. At the end of all that, you can say, for Jesus' sake. Do it for Jesus' sake. There's no better reason. Romans 12, very familiar verse of Scripture, says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, for Jesus' sake. Do it for His sake. Be not conformed to this world. Can you do that for Jesus' sake? I get tired of people trying to defend the world's ways. They've adopted the world's ways into their lives, and then they try to defend it. Be not conformed to this world. Can you do that for Jesus' sake? Stop and consider what He has done. Can you not do that for Jesus' sake? Oh, people today, they'll argue about dress. They'll argue about all kinds of things. Can't you just do it for Jesus' sake? Amen. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And we are called to a vocation. And that vocation takes precedence over everything else for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. Notice in verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation. Be renewed in the spirit Verse 24, put on the new man. Neither give place to the devil. Verse 27, let him that stole steal no more. We ought to be able to do these things for Jesus' sake. And then you get into Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. And you see that we ought to be a certain kind of people. Talks about submitting ourselves one to another. You say, I'm not about to submit myself to the church's authority. You do it for Jesus' sake. I'm not about to submit myself to them. You do it for Jesus' sake. Wives, you be the wives that you ought to be. You say, I'm not going to be that kind of wife to him. You do it for Jesus' sake. And husbands, you love your wives as Christ loved the church, and you do it for Jesus' sake. And children, you obey your parents, and you do it for Jesus' sake. And you be the right employee and the right employer, and you do it all for Jesus' sake. There's no need to argue about any of these things. Because we ought to be willing to do it all for Jesus' sake. We are to be what we ought to be and do what we ought to do for Jesus' sake. We ought to use the abilities that God has given us for Jesus' sake. We ought to give for Jesus' sake. We ought to love His church for Jesus' sake. We ought to be loyal for Jesus Christ, for Jesus' sake. The interests that we pursue ought to be for Jesus' sake. The decisions that we make ought to be for Jesus' sake. And then we ought to persevere for Jesus' sake. When you say, I can't go on, I don't have any strength left, I can't do it anymore, you do it for Jesus' sake and you keep going. You just do it all for Him. Well, if you're doing it for someone else, you will quit. But you do it for Him. Not for gain. Not for honor, not for appearance, but for Jesus' sake. So in closing, for Jesus' sake, that motive needs to be planted deep within our hearts. And such will cause us to view things in an entirely different light. Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, he said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Now if you just read that, you'd think Paul had lost his mind. Why would anybody take pleasure in those things? But he ended by saying, for Christ's sake. He said, I do it all for Christ's sake. When you and I, if we're saved, when we get to heaven, it will not be based upon any good that we have done. It will not be based on any service that we have rendered. It will not be based upon any endurance, any hardships that we have endured. It will not be because of any sermon that I have preached. It will not be because of any battles that we have fought. We have no claim. We have no claim of merit or worth. We have only one plea. And that's Jesus. And everything we do ought to be for Jesus' sake. You see, when folks get to heaven, they spend all of eternity singing praise to His name. And I've had people ask me through the years, you mean to tell me that's all we're going to do? What else would you want to do? I mean, it's then you fully realize that it's all because of Him. And I'm telling you, the more we realize that it's all because of Him, the more you just want to do everything for His sake. And you wish you had an eternity to be everything you ought to be and to do everything you ought to do. So may we strive from this day forward that everything we do, it would be for Jesus' sake. There are many times that we're not going to feel like doing what's right, but you do it for Jesus' sake, whether you feel like it or not. There are going to be many times when you think, well, what's the use? Nobody appreciates it. Who are you doing it for? Do it for Him. Do it for Him. When you feel that you can't go on, you just remember, for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake, I have to. For Jesus' sake, I want to. That ought to be our motive. That ought to be our reason. For Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake, I'll do what I know He wants me to do. That ought to be our aim. That ought to be our goal. People say, I'm not going to crawl for anybody. You do it for Jesus' sake. You do it for Him. Everything we do, it needs to be for Jesus' sake. If you're here and lost today, you have only one hope, and that is this one that we've been talking about, Jesus Christ. If you're lost today, and if you understood who you are, what you are, and that you have absolutely no merit whatsoever, you would not walk out that door lost. If you walk out that door lost, it's because you believe down in your heart that somehow, some way, it's going to be all right. That somehow, some way, God's going to find some merit. I'm telling you, there is none. You have none. I wish you could understand that today. You have none. None. It's all because of Him. And if you're ever going to be saved, it'll be because of Him. He's your only hope today. Whatever your life is like, however much of a wreck it might be, however much of a mess it might be, I'm telling you, He's your only hope. He's the only one who can save your soul. Oh, that you would cry out to Him today. Save your soul. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand.